James Ellroy, one of the most compelling and stylish crime writers writing today. Breakthrough novel, L.A. Confidential, published in 1990 and 7 years later became one of the most acclaimed movies of the decade. That book, L.A. Confidential, was one part of a quartet of books, Ellroy's L.A. Quartet, set in the late 40s and 1950s. But earlier this decade, he embarked on a second L.A. Quartet, going back in time and setting the action during the Second World War. Perfidia, the first of the new quartet, was published in 2014, and in recent weeks, the latest installment, This Storm, has just hit the shelves. Peter Murphy has been reading This Storm, and he's with me now. To try to get a handle on all of, or even a section of, James Ellroy's work is quite hard, Peter. What did LA, the original LA Quartet, do for crime writing that kind of moved crime writing really to a very different place than it had been in previously?
It almost took it into sort of James Joyce territory, if that's not too hyperbolic. It really, the first one I read was The Black Dahlia, and it just took all the conventions of noir, you know, a dead woman, a murder. Incidentally, Ellroy's own mother, Jean Hilliker, was murdered when he was a boy.
Big issue and a big thing that recurs in a lot of the writing, isn't it?
It was the central kind of seed event for his obsessions that followed over the decades. You have the standard detective, the Hammett, Dashiell Hammett-esque detective, who is good at nothing else in his life except his job. But his job is
everything,
and obsessional and professional. He always writes male professionals, although there are a couple of very significant female characters in the new book and in its predecessor, Perfidia. But what it did was elevate the complexity and the sort of literary wallop, the heavyweight wallop.
And linguistic. You know, it's fireworks isn't the right words. He's an absolute, I'm trying to think the word you would give to a brilliant pianist or a virtuoso. He's a virtuoso performer when it comes to language.
I would say a virtuoso. The analogy I would use is a featherweight boxer, because the speed, the adrenaline, what unwary readers are often struck by, even if you read them a passage and they've never encountered Ellroy before, is the sheer energy and merciless bang off the words the speed and the and the brutality of it. But I mean, it came along because his editor, the third book of the second book of the LA, the original LA Quartet, was LA Confidential, and it was, I think, 100 pages too long to be standard airport fare, and they asked him to remove 100 pages, so he went. Said, I can't take a word out of this story-wise, so he just mercilessly sheared every sentence of every spare.
It's absolute. Definite articles often just disappeared. Sometimes even verbs disappeared.
Yeah, it's rammed full of nouns and verbs, and because he uses so much of the period hipster argo and foul language and racial epithets, it is actually quite like gangster rap in a weird way.
That feeling off.
Even
now,
though Ellroy would hate the analogy.
Yeah, I've got a drink of water now, so I'll stop coughing. Now, I said that we're in prequel territory. We can't get into everything that happened in Perfidia. Where are we in This Storm? What part? Because Perfidia was just before Pearl Harbor, wasn't it? Around the time of Pearl Harbor. Where are we now with This Storm?
Okay, so these four books. This proposed second LA Quartet function as a four-part prequel to the original quartet. Yeah. The original quartet was 1946 to 1958, the post-war prime noir years. After that, he went on and did something called the USA Underworld Trilogy, which led him into more historical fiction.
Edgar Hoover was one of those.
JFK, American Foreign Policy, the Cold War, very much inspired by Don DeLillo's book Libra, which was a fictionalization of Lee Harvey Oswald's life. So he's gone and applied what he learned in those years to the wartime Los Angeles period, which is, Perfidia was December 1942, and this picks up in December 1941. This picks up in January 1942. And it's crucial to the sense of paranoia and looming kind of apocalypse. It's straight after Pearl Harbor. So everybody in the book is kind of in a state of dementedness, really.
And it's a Japanese character, a character of Japanese origin, who's our kind of main line through the novel, is it?
Well, he's certainly probably the most sympathetic character is Hideo Ishida, who was introduced in Perfidia, the last book. And he's a very un-Elroy-like character in that he's gay, he's physically diminutive, he's small, he's sensitive, but he's a brilliant forensic chemist.
Yeah, because normally we're talking alpha males. That's classic Elroy, isn't it?
The classic Bookie Blykehart and Lee Blanchard and all these, you know, guys whose speciality is to extract a confession by the use of phone books. and I don't mean looking
up
numbers.
You're not looking up numbers, yeah.
Hideo Ishida is a brilliant character. He was a young man who's interned straight after Pearl Harbor, him and his family. It transpires that he has an incredible gift in chemistry and also photography. He's a bit of a photography whiz. And he is spotted by Captain Dudley Smith, who is the totally immoral, brutal Machiavellian character who pops up again in L.A. Confidential, who's, again, one of the main characters here. But he spots Hideo Ishida's talents and enlists him. And Ishida, interestingly enough, has a sort of semi-obsessive crush on Smith. So he's a very unusual character and very very accessible to us.
Yeah, because that is unusual in terms of Elroy. I'm also wondering how you said he's a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
How unusual is that? Because a lot of the Elroy characters, they're not really good or bad, but most of them are compromised somewhere along the way.
Everybody's dirty here.
Everybody. Even Hideo.
And I won't give anything away.
Right, okay.
But a lot of the strength of this book is to see Hideo's coming of age, his blooding, and how he becomes as compromised as everybody else. There are even the strong female characters who would be traditional femme fatale kind of characters, such as Kay Lake and Joan Conville, are as calculating and in their own ways merciless as any of the other.
You're a very big James Elroy fan.
Yes.
But in your notes for this review, Peter, you mentioned about having read the book, you kind of had to start again. And that's not a mean task with a James Elroy book.
Well, maybe one of the reasons there's 6 years between Elroy books is it takes that long to reread them and figure out what's going on.
What happened, yeah.
And the joy of this is that Elroy's set pieces, his interrogation scenes, his heists, his page-by-page prose is an absolute joy. The difficulty is sometimes it's very hard to figure out what the hell is going on. And I say that as a long-term Elroy reader.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exposition in this, a lot of repetitive exposition. It perhaps could have been 100 pages shorter. I know that Elroy writes outlines that are as long as the actual novels, and sometimes this reads like an outline more than a novel. Having said that, if you're a fan, you'll want to read this book, and if you're invested in this quartet, and Perfidia was quite a return to form, you'll need to read this. Difficult as it is, it's not Finnegan's Wake.
But it's worth the couple of reads.
It is. You won't, as Norman Mailer said of Moby Dick, when you finish it, you'll damn well know you've read a book.
All right. And I know you read it a couple of times for us for this evening, so thanks for that. Peter Murphy reviewing This Storm by James Elroy, which is published by Heinemann. Oh, by the way, James Elroy is currently at City Hall as part of the Murder One Festival. Is that City Hall in Cork? It is City Hall. No, City Hall in Dublin. Beg your pardon. City Hall in Dublin as part of the Murder One Festival.